You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Come on, people. It's time to get up.
I am the world's foremost authority on all matters.
Greeny, I love your genius. You know I love you. I love the way you think.
I could sit back and listen to this for the rest of the day.
It's calling me, man. Scotty is calling me.
Dominic Foxworth, you always have a delightful way of sitting back, absorbing everything everyone says, and then distilling it down to something simple.
Well, that's a lot of pressure, first of all.
So that's what he said.
I was very, very skinny back then. I was a little guy. I have my grown man weight, my daddy weight now.
I never want to disagree with Lewis. He is clearly smarter and far superior in every way in life.
Okay, hold on. Hold on.
Look at Jeff. He's got Lewis. Oh, yeah, go ahead. For me, it's like Christmas, and he's Santa Claus.
Baltimore's own Mel Kiper.
That's a lot of hair I've lost between now and hair. Then and now. I can tell you that right now.
Speaking of bald.
Thank you, Jeff.
You ever have hair, Lewis?
Zero pressure getting put on by Greeny. You seem more appropriate for the pressure Greeny was applying.
D. Woody, you are out to show America that you are still the most powerful man in all of ESPN. You bench pressed me for more reps than Myles Garrett.
Look, he's kind of snuggling in there.
That was a thigh, I can promise you.
I found the way you chose to bench him and your hand placement.
You're still uncomfortable with that.
It just feels to me like that was a very intimate choice that you made there, where there was a way of doing this, I think, that would have been a little less obviously so.
We literally had like a meeting just about that topic.
Oh, I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. But with that, we welcome you back to... In case you're wondering, by the way, what happens at the combine, everyone just runs around and they bench press Field Yates.
Yeah.
All right, we got live. We're at the Seaport. We're brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. The quarterbacks are talking people, and you need to hear from them. Let's start that now. The epicenter of the football world is Indianapolis, and that's where our show is coming to you from this morning. Our squad is ready to go. The quarterbacks are in the house. They're all talking this morning. Here is the first of them, Jaden Daniels, about 40 minutes ago with our Laura Rutledge.
What would you say to those who would be curious about your size at the next level?
Yeah, I mean, I lasted through the SEC with it. God blessed me with this frame for a reason, so I can't complain about it.
If you end up being picked by the Bears, what would it be like to be in Chicago?
It'll be dope. You know, this Chicago, obviously, there's a lot of grace that came at play professional sports in Chicago, so it'll be dope.
And what about the Commanders?
Yeah, Commanders too. Be able to follow the lineage of, you know, guys like Doug Williams, you know, won a Super Bowl there, and hopefully, you know, be able to just turn around the city.
Well, look, in Washington, you almost have to go back to Doug Williams. And In Chicago, you almost have to go back to no one, Sid Luckman. So, you know, wherever he goes, he's got a chance to rewrite the history. But you get to hear some things there. And obviously, the first question from Laura is going to be the most important. Lewis, I mean, at the end of the day, the weight, the frame, he did withstand the punishment in the SEC. And we've been showing you the tape all morning long. He took a lot of really big hits. That's going to be the question people ask about Jaden Daniels. What would it mean to you?
Yeah, look, I think that's obviously something that quarterback coaches, offensive coordinators, head coaches will address with him wherever he goes, that you just cannot put yourself in harm's way like that. Oh. I think one of the things that people need to also realize about Jaden Daniels is just how many missed tackles he forced as well. This guy is super elusive. I mean, he is a guy who is hard to get down in the open field. So it's not like he doesn't have the ability to make people miss. And it's not like he doesn't have the ability to make better judgments. He's a competitor. And, you know, that's the kind of guy you want to dial back a guy like this. You want to be able to coach him in that way because he's a go-getter. And he's also someone who I'm sure his body is going to continue to mature where his job is full-time, 100% football, and he has the money to devote to and really invest in his physical development. I'm sure he will fill out just fine, and his frame will not be an issue. I mean, we talk about this every year as far as how guys are put together. And look, you take the wrong hit, whether you're a 6'5", 230-pounder, or you're a 6'4", 210-pounder, you're going to be on the shelf. You're going to be in the training room. He'll be just fine. His frame will not be an issue. It will not be an issue.
What sorts of things are you hearing there, Graziano? That there's an increasing – I can show you, actually, Cindy, if you have it. Let's put up the odds from ESPN Bet, because ESPN Bet overwhelmingly says – Caleb Williams remains the favorite to be the first pick in this draft. As you see, Jaden Daniels isn't even next. Caleb Williams, odds-on favorite. Drake May next. Jaden Daniels there below. But there's still 2 months left before these decisions get made. And at the end of the day, only one team is going to wind up making that decision. So, Graziano, as my ears on the ground in Indy, what are you hearing?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of talk about, you know, do teams have Jaden Daniels rated ahead of Caleb Williams? What order do these three come off the board depending on who you talk to? There is a wide variety of opinions, as there always is. Quarterback evaluations are subjective, and we see this every single year. But at the end of the day, the question of whether you like Jaden Daniels better than Caleb Williams, it really is only going to matter to one team. And at this point, it's the Chicago Bears. If they stay put and pick number one and they have Caleb ahead of Jaden Daniels, then it really doesn't matter if you know, 30 other teams were to disagree with them. But it says a lot about Jaden Daniels and the year he had and how he's impressing people that this is even a conversation. This is a week where these guys get to get in front of teams, answer questions, you know, kind of show who they are. And I think this is a week that can change some minds, too, and some draft board orders. The concern you hear about Jaden Daniels is that one about his frame. I personally have never had an issue adding weight to my frame during the combine here in Indianapolis. So hopefully, for his sake, he finds some of those same spots.
Well, that's why Mike Tannenbaum did our meeting this morning from the Stairmaster there, and then a quick schvitz, and now yeah. He's out here talking with us. And Mike T, look, I'd like to let's really dive into this for a minute here, because you told us this morning that if you were stacking your board right now, you would have Caleb Williams at one and Jaden Daniels at three. And the only reason I can think of that or for that would have to be the size, because at the end of the day, well, I'm watching the same tape everyone else is. Yes, Caleb Williams does some things that make you think of Patrick Mahomes. He just kind of looks like him and does some things that are spectacular. But in every way, Jaden Daniels was the best quarterback in college football last year, and it wasn't close. He won the Heisman, and that wasn't close. He was spectacular in every way you can be. So I feel like the measurables, Mike, you correct me if I'm wrong, have to be the deciding, or to me would have to be the deciding factor if I weren't putting Daniels up at the top of this. Talk to me, Mike.
Yeah, Greeny, I absolutely agree with that. It just comes down to, is he built to last? That old saying, you know, can he sustain the rigors of a 17-game regular season? Last year, 66 different quarterbacks started a game. I think all three of these quarterbacks are going to be really good. But when you look at the way Jaden Daniels is built, you worry about, can he add good weight, much the way we've seen other guys come in and add good weight over time. The thing that I like most about Jaden Daniels that really applies this time of year, Greeny, is the tape sets the floor and the character sets the ceiling. His completion percentage has gone up over 20% since his freshman year at Arizona State, from 60 to 72%. So I love him, but I would take Drake May over him, because Drake May reminds me of Justin Herbert, and that build over time will give him a better chance to get through a regular season.
Well, I mean, all you have to say is Justin Herbert, and Mike T is, that's it. He's like his adopted son. I mean, Mike T has been dining out on the Justin Herbert evaluation for as long as I can remember. We'll put one final word on this, because I want to get to the other story here. Maybe the bigger story that is going on there involving the Bears. But just a quick thought on, if you're the one, you're betting your job, right? You're an NFL general manager. There's only 32 of those jobs. You don't usually get it twice.
Yep.
Are you betting your job on the guy if his frame is a concern?
Yeah, listen, would it be a concern? Yes, but I'm going off of what did the tape tell me? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I need to see, like, who's the best player? And for me, it's Jaden Daniels. Just like I said in the first hour, I think his game, the attributes that he does well, are the most transferable of the three quarterbacks that we're talking about. The accuracy, the poise, when teams bring the pressure, his ability to beat man-to-man coverage. You know, they all of them are athletic. But I think those traits that I just talked about, He does them better than any of these guys in this draft. So that's the guy that I'm taking number one if I'm the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, you said it. Orlovsky has said it. Lewis, I feel, is tiptoeing in that direction. Let's see where it all winds up. We still have almost 2 months to go. In the meantime, I misspoke earlier. It's you get to an age where you're positive you remember something right, and then it turns out you were wrong. The Bears did not make the trade with Carolina a year ago today. It was a year ago next Friday. But such is life. The point is, we are approaching the time where we would expect the Bears to have all these suitors knocking down their door. I want Justin. No, I want Justin. No, we're in a bidding war. Dan Graziano, what is the word in Indianapolis about how that's going?
Yeah, I think there's a feeling that maybe the market is not as robust as we might have imagined it to be. Now, that doesn't mean they won't deal him. I think they probably will, assuming they are set on staying at number one and making the pick. But it may be that they don't get the price they're hoping for him. Look, if Atlanta, as we're being told, has its eye maybe on Kirk Cousins, should he hit the open market, that would take a potential suitor away. And also probably would not add one because I feel like it's unlikely the Bears would trade Justin Fields to the Vikings in their own division. Is Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh is talking about Kenny Pickett in positive ways and possibly running it back with him, and that would take a potential suitor off the board for Justin Fields. So I do think, Ryan Poles, if he's set on taking whoever at number one, will move Justin Fields. He has said he'd like to do it by free agency if that's what happens. But it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what kind of price he can get if, in fact, there aren't a ton of teams knocking down his door.
To be clear, free agency is like a week and a half from now. So that the urgency on this is pressing. Yes. So, Mike T, you've been in that chair. You're the general manager. You've got a valuable asset. They're not knocking down your door the way they thought you thought they might. What are you doing? If you're Ryan Poles right now, what are you doing?
Greedy, I'm making a trade right now. And again, he deserves a ton of credit. You cleared it up. But basically, a year ago here, he gets a massive deal done and gets the first pick again. That's a remarkable job. But what you can't have happen, Greeny, is these seats get filled quick. So let's say Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. That's one less suitor. And what you don't want to have happen is you want, assuming it's Caleb Williams, the new quarterback to have the best situation to be successful. You don't want to have Justin Fields there every day because that will be the story. And again, if the team that's acquiring Justin Fields, you're assuming they're going to exercise the fifth-year option. So now you have a quarterback who's young with great potential, very reasonable cost for the next 2 years. So Justin Fields does have a lot of value to the team that's acquiring him. And I would think that will get done between now and the official start of free agency.
Yeah, so look, I mean, we've been talking about Atlanta. Now they're interested in Cousins. We've been talking about Pittsburgh. Now they want to keep Kenny Pickett. I mean, all these things are fluid. But, Lewis, who should be doing this? I mean, who should be on the phone with Ryan Poles right now saying, here you go. What is it going to take to get this done? I want Justin Fields to be my quarterback, and let's go forward.
I think for Atlanta, because of the fact that the cupboard is absolutely bare, there's nothing there at that position. And given all the things that, if you were projecting future performance, that would align with Justin kind of being someone who could take his game to another level, to me, it makes sense for it to be Atlanta. Now, the Kirk Cousins situation, you could also see why they may have him as a priority and as being choice number one for them as far as bringing into that situation because of his familiarity with Zach Robinson's offense, being that the fact that Zach is coming from L.A., you know, under Sean McVay. And then and Kirk just ran that kind of offense under Kevin O'Connell up in Minnesota. Because of how young their skilled players are, they could really stand to benefit from a guy of Kirk's experience and how he has been able to play at a high level for a long time, a young offensive line. I mean, there's just so many things that I could see them going, look, Kirk is a perfect fit. But I could also see them going, Justin would really benefit from this type of offense as well. This is his hometown. He would be very comfortable. He would feel wanted. So I think that's the team. I just look, Pittsburgh makes sense too. Arthur Smith and that kind of offense makes sense too. But again, I just can't get away from the fact that, look, if you talk to Mike Tomlin, Mike Tomlin's the kind of guy who invests in people. He does not pull the plug on people and wind up, you know, and change directions very quickly. He made that point to us, you know, at the end of the season last year when we were getting ready to do the Baltimore game, when he was talking about George Pickens and the investment that he has made in him when people were screaming for, you need to suspend George Pickens. You need to cut George Pickens. You need to get him out of here. I mean, he looked us dead in the face and was like, you know how this business goes. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. I pour into these guys. He's pouring into Kenny Pickett. I just don't see that necessarily maybe being a situation that lines up the way maybe we think it would line up.
All right, everybody stay where you are. I'm told that we just got the comment in from Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams asked about being the number one pick, asked about going to Chicago. Let me take a quick break while we turn that around. You will hear it in a moment here. Caleb Williams addressing the possibility of being the first pick in this draft to the Bears. It spoke moments ago. You'll hear it coming up next. Plus, is New York a place that one of these quarterbacks may wind up in? Is Daniel Jones' clock ticking? We're talking about that in a moment. Plus, March Madness for Russ. Why Russell Wilson could be in for a much longer wait than he or anyone was expecting. Don't miss any of that. Plus, Caleb Williams immediately turned around. Next, get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up. A lot of interesting things are happening at the Combine literally as we speak. I was just told J.J. McCarthy had some very interesting comments that we'll bring you in a moment. But first, as promised, Caleb Williams, who most people believe will be the number one pick in this draft, was asked just moments ago about going to Chicago. Here's what he said.
The Bears was an 8-9 team last year, I believe, and 7-10. Sorry, and you know that's pretty good for a team that has the first pick, and they got a good defense. They got good players on offense, and you know it's pretty exciting. You know, if you could go into a situation like that, I don't compare myself to the other guys. You know, that's there or been there. I think I'm my own player and. You know, I tend to like to, you know, create history and rewrite history.
If he winds up in Chicago, he'd have a chance to rewrite history. They've been waiting 100 years for someone who can do the things he, at least on tape, looks like he can do. Lewis, anything there? And, you know, there had been that narrative that maybe he, maybe his dad didn't want Chicago. What are you hearing there?
No, I just hear him trying to get through a press conference and answer the questions without there being too much speculation about whether or not he wants to go there or doesn't want to go there. I think, you know, and that's probably the best way for him to play it, is just keep his answers nice and neutral, you know, express gratitude for the fact that he's even being considered for the number one overall pick. The kind of things that kind of like keep speculation down to a minimum. Does he have a feeling about where he wants to play? Of course he does. He's a human being. Of course there's probably situations that he hopes that he can get to that would help maximize his career. But I think off of that soundbite right there, I don't read really anything into it. There's plenty of other things that are going to, plenty of other information that's going to come out of his time here and out of this whole pre-draft process that will sway you much more than that press conference, that's for sure. And I'm sure it's already happening as we speak.
Fair enough. Okay, so then let me get to the next one. And Graziano, I want to come to you on something interesting you said to us this morning. Forget about the Giants VO. We don't need that. Let me just tell you, J.J. McCarthy, when he met with the media just moments ago, said that he enjoyed his meeting with the Giants, which tells us that he has met with the Giants. Now, that's not a surprise. The Giants, however, have the sixth pick in this draft. There has long been a feeling, I think, that after we get past the top three, something like six might be earlier than we should expect another quarterback to go. Graziano, in our meeting this morning, I got a sense you're not feeling that way.
Yeah, I think coming into the combine, the sense I get when I talk to teams is that people are pretty high on J.J. McCarthy. Now, this week can affect perceptions in either direction. So it's entirely possible, you know, that he looks good on tape and that they want to like him, and maybe he shows up here and doesn't test the way that they hope. So we will see. But coming into this combine, I definitely got the sense that J.J. McCarthy would probably be likely to be the number four quarterback taken, and that he had a chance to go higher than I think people think, maybe even in the top 10 where the Giants are sitting in a spot where they probably don't get one of the top three. So, look, I mean, yes, meetings, yes. Giants met with Caleb Williams, too. Like, that, like they're going to meet with all these guys. But I think J.J. McCarthy is an interesting guy to watch for teams in that zone. Giants at 6, Atlanta at 8, Minnesota at 11, et cetera, et cetera. I wouldn't rule him out in that range.
Apropos of nothing, Daniel Jones was the sixth pick in the draft when the Giants took him there a few years ago. Mike Tannenbaum, I mean, could J.J. McCarthy walk out of Indianapolis by the end of this weekend a top 10 pick, maybe six to the Giants? Is that on the list of things that can happen here?
Yeah, he could even go higher. He could go four. I could see Atlanta trading up to four if they have to. And here's why. The style of play that Michigan had over the last 2 years just wasn't conducive to having the massive statistics we've talked about with these other guys, but he has all the ability in the world. He has much better athleticism than people realize. I went to a bunch of their practices over the last 2 years. He's an innate leader, and at the most high leverage moments, Greeny, he played extremely well. And let me tell you a quick story. 2009, we're sitting at 17, and I'm trying to meet with Matt Stafford and Mark Sanchez, and their agents are like, "You're wasting our time. We're top five picks." I'm like, "You never know." So we actually had an agreement with Stafford's agent that we could meet with him. He wouldn't work out. If I'm Caleb Williams or J.J. McCarthy, I'm talking to everybody. You just never know.
Yep.
Maybe the Giants go all in and give three ones and Kayvon Thibodeau to get to one. Maybe Minnesota loses out on Kirk Cousins or Atlanta, and they get up to four. So we're looking at a wild 2 months here. And J.J. McCarthy being the fourth or fifth pick is not out of the question, especially for a team that sees the ceiling in him that I certainly do as well.
Lewis.
Yeah, I don't. The draft is about maximizing value, right? That's really what it is. It's about trying to pick players where you feel as though they represent the greatest value. And in that, no other position does that get thrown out of whack more so than quarterback because of the supply and demand equation and because of how we know how much that position means. Would anything shock me as far as how teams view these quarterbacks and the price they're willing to pay? No, it wouldn't. If I'm the Giants, would I at six pick J.J. McCarthy? No, I would not. Considering the overall picture, look, J.J. McCarthy in that environment that Daniel Jones was operating under last year, J.J. McCarthy, look, I'll tell you what, I don't care what you think his ceiling is, he's not going to excel in that environment. He's not the kind of, look, he's a notch below Jaden. He's a notch below Caleb, okay, and he's a notch below Drake. And if you threw Drake into those, put any one of those three into that situation, I promise you they are going to struggle much more than if they were thrown into a much better situation. So what I guess what I'm saying is this, if I'm the Giants right now, if I'm looking for a quarterback, I'm trying to get one at a price that is much more palatable to me than number six overall for J.J. McCarthy, and that's not a knock against him.
Very quickly, and we're going to run out of time here. If you're the Giants, are you looking to make a quarterback move one way or another in this draft?
Not at six. I'm just not doing it. As much as we talk about how Brian Daboll's job might be in jeopardy this year.
Yep.
If they don't win, like, they need guys that can come in and affect the team right now. I just don't think they can afford to go out and get a quarterback at six.
All right. I've got something I want to show you a little bit later about a big man who was moving that Damian Woody is all excited about. Watching some of these big fellas running some of these drills. Oh, you're going to see it. D. Wood's going to be excited. In the meantime, there's one of the teams near the top about to do the exact opposite of what we've all been expecting them to do. We'll talk about that. And then it's a dream scenario. LeBron and Steph, would they win a championship together? We got a definitive answer. Don't miss it next. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. We are back at the bottom of the hour, and D Wood, I just want you to feast your eyes on Tavondre Sweat, defensive tackle, Texas. 366 pounds. He ran a 5.27 40. Talk to me.
You, Green, you see that big man rolling right there? That's a lot of mass rolling. 366, listen, folks, 366 pounds and running a 5.27, that's freakish. Freakish.
Hembo did the math. So here's what the numbers actually add up to. If you weigh 366 pounds and you run a 5.27, if you just do it pound for pound, it would be like a 180-pound person running a 2.59.
Yeah.
So I would say if a corner ran 2.59 in the 40, he'd go first.
Right. Yeah.
So that's how fast, pound for pound,
yes,
this big fellow was moving. By the way, Chop Robinson set it off today. He ran under 4.5. There's some unbelievable specimen.
How about that? Point
in this
shot.
Year's draft. Yeah. Okay, where's Graziano? Let's do Graziano notes at the bottom of the hour here. People tuning in here, they want to hear what's going on at the Combine and all around the league. What do people need to know, Dan?
Bears GM Ryan Poles said earlier this week that if he's going to trade Justin Fields because he's replacing him with the number one overall pick, he'd want to do it before free agency. Free agency starts officially March 13th. Teams can talk to players starting March 11th. So you're talking about sometime in the next 10 to 12 days, we could have a resolution on where Justin Fields is going to play. It'll just be interesting to see what the market turns out to be for him. So far this week, it doesn't sound like there's a ton of teams interested, but of course that could change depending on what happens with other guys. For instance, Kirk Cousins of the Minnesota Vikings, a pending free agent that the Vikings are not able to franchise. They have had conversations aimed at keeping him. If they do not re-sign him prior to the start of the league year, March 13th, then they would have a $28.5 million dead money cap charge for him this year. So they'd obviously like to know before then whether they're signing him or whether they're moving on. If they move on, he becomes a free agent. Teams like the Atlanta Falcons would be interested in speaking to him at that point. New England Patriots have the 3rd pick in the draft. There's been a lot of speculation about what they might do with it. Would they trade back and amass more picks, help rebuild their roster? It sounds to me, based on the conversations I've had, that the likely outcome here is the Patriots would make a pick at number 3, that it would be a quarterback, and that they would also look around at veteran options, guys that might be able to play while that rookie quarterback sat behind him. Remember that the he doesn't have the title of GM, but Elliott Wolf is making the pick for the Patriots now. He comes from the Green Bay Packers. His father was Ron Wolf. Certainly, he knows all about the idea of sitting a young quarterback behind a veteran.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ron Wolf was legendary for taking a quarterback in every year's draft. So the Patriots at three, I think I saw in your notes that, or someone's notes this morning, that maybe likelier that they trade up for a quarterback that I like than trade back in this draft, right? And so that seems to fly directly. Go ahead, Dan.
No, I mean, assuming one of those first two picks is for sale, which we doubt that that would be the case.
That's what I mean. But my point is, like, that is just, once again, Mike T, there's the opposite of everything that we have been talking about all along. We've thought all along, oh, three is the one spot you can move up to if you want one of these quarterbacks, because the Patriots have so many holes on their roster. They seem like a likely team to trade back. But if they fall in love with somebody, what do you think of the idea of New England being an aggressive team here in this?
Absolutely. And I think of all these hypotheticals, and this is so much fun for the next 2 months. New England Patriots' evaluation of Mac Jones is as consequential a decision as any of them, and here's why. If they don't like him at all and they love fill in the blank, Caleb Williams, they're going to try to go up and get him and say, hey, new head coach, new GM, new quarterback, we're set for the next 10 years. If they're like, you know what, maybe Mac Jones can reinvigorate himself, you know, under Jerod Mayo, we're going to trade back. And Greeny, think about this. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen were both traded up for. And I'm not saying, like, it's going to be J.J. McCarthy's going to be those guys, but there could be a team like the Saints, the Raiders, somebody else could trade up for the third pick, the fourth pick, if they say, hey, you know what, with Mac Jones, we're going to be okay, and we're going to trade back. So I think what happens at number three is hugely consequential as we talk about these quarterbacks.
Absolutely. Lewis, final word.
Yeah, look, I agree. I think that, without a doubt, is like a pressure point in the draft. That spot right there. It's going to be whether or not Jerod Mayo and Elliott will feel as though the situations that were created for Mac Jones outside of his rookie year, does that have more to do with his drop-off and his regression, or is it because Mac just kind of reverted to what some people thought he was going to be anyway, which was an average quarterback? That's what it's really going to come down to. If they feel that Mac is okay, then you trade down and you build the roster out, because make no mistake, they are devoid of talent. We put up the graphic yesterday on NFL Live about the number of first-round picks that have just really turned out to be nothing for them, and it is startling. They need people at every single position. But if they feel as though Mac is not the future and one of their guys is there that they like, then yeah, you got to go ahead and pick them. And then you just got to get to work and you got to take the long road and just continue to build out the rest of this football team. So that pick, without a doubt, is where really the action to me really gets real exciting.
And the first pick of the post-Bill Belichick era in a very, very long time. Everyone stay close on all the football. We'll have much more of that as we go, but I've got to show you the comeback, the performance, the finish of the night. Monica Allen, get in here. Let me show you LeBron and the Lakers hosting the Wizards. This is a night after LeBron James had led that furious comeback against the Clippers. Now here he is in a tight game with the Wizards. Down one with less than a minute left. Jordan Poole, who had 34, knocks that one down to give the Wizards a two-point lead. Then it's Austin Reeves who ties it with a floater. Now final 5 seconds. Wizards, where you going for a bucket to try and win it? Poole, again, he had 34. He needed 37 to win it in regulation. We're going to overtime. And then here we go. McNutt, feast your eyes on just vintage LeBron in the OT. We got a turnover. We got LeBron chasing. Watch this. Get it out of there. Talk to me. Let's show it again.
Man, just the athleticism, the care that he's taken over his entire body, showing up late in the game, late in his career.
Chase down block from LeBron. Stop me if you've heard that before. Mm-hmm. Then he knocks down a three. That one to erase a three-point deficit. Then it's Russell to LeBron to Anthony Davis, who had 40 points and 15 rebounds. So the Lakers have the lead. 15 seconds to go. Wizards down by three. Former Laker Kyle Kuzma needs this one to tie it. It's no good, and the Lakers hang on to win it in overtime. Back-to-back, consecutive night, wild wins for LeBron and company at home. He had 31 points. By the way, he's now 9 away from 40,000 for his career. So you see where the Lakers sit. I mean, they're at 9. The Warriors are at 10. But look how tightly packed everybody is. I mean, they're like 1 week away from being out of the play-in if things were to go their way. So I guess, look, we are living in a world where LeBron James came from the play-in last year and carried his team to the Western Conference Finals. You look at this team that he has. You look at the way they depend on him. Does he have that in him again this year?
Yeah, you think he can, right? You think he can, because anytime you say anytime you bet against LeBron James, you're going to lose, because he continues to prove that he is not something you can compare to anybody else in history. Not just the talent, but also what he's doing at the age of 39. And what we're showing you here is in a back-to-back, let's not forget that, winning situation, chase down block. The body's not willing, but the mind tells him to do it. That three, that's a tough three late in the game with the minutes he's playing. And then the cut to the basket and a beautiful pass to AD as well. Just the little things that he's doing that we take for granted. So now the question is, can he do this for 16 wins in the spring after a full season? That's going to take, Greeny, 22 minutes in a second half of all these games.
Every game.
And that's the question. What did we talk about last year? We went through this with him. We got to the conference finals, and I likened it to the battery, your phone battery, that when it goes old, it doesn't charge fully anymore, and it doesn't hold the charge. And that's the question about LeBron, that the only thing you can ask him, the only human element that he has in his game is the age, and can that battery charge every night to deliver what the Lakers need from him?
So if we stick with that analogy, let's not forget last year he had the minor injury, and we discussed whether or not AD would be able to step up for this Lakers squad. And by default, the battery was being infinitely recharged, just having the opportunity to rest.
Well, he missed like a month at the end of the season.
Yeah, and then power into that postseason. It doesn't look like, I'm knock on wood, you never want to see a guy get injured, but just what kind of toll does playing the paces of a regular season and then going through, they would need two wins in the play-in right now. And then to a season.
Well, keep in mind, too, they're two games out of, like, the sixth spot.
That's the point.
Yeah, that's true.
And so if you can get out of that, right? Yep. And so he's probably going to have to empty the tank just to see if they can get a top six spot. Mm-hmm. And so you're right about that. Again, it's the mileage. It's that. And no one's questioning LeBron's ability to do it. It's more or less physically, can he do it? Because they rely on him so much.
In the meantime, McNutt always gets mad at me when I do this. But I like to live in this fantasy world where at some point LeBron and Steph are going to team up. And so does Draymond Green. So Draymond Green and Carmelo Anthony are on a podcast, and they were talking about the trade that almost happened, LeBron to the Warriors, and Carmelo talking about whether or not LeBron and Steph would win the championship if they were together. Take a listen.
Steph and LeBron. I think that team win a championship, no problem.
Easy.
Like, easy.
I don't think so.
Crazy.
I don't think it would. I don't think so, because guess what? LeBron is going to Golden State. You got to build another team.
Kaminga can't go nowhere.
That's what I'm saying.
Kaminga can't go nowhere.
Kaminga can't go nowhere.
Talk to me, McNutt. LeBron and Steph. First of all, what are you drinking? What color is that?
It's beet juice. It's called a hangover helper. I do not have a hangover at all, but beet juice.
It looks delicious.
It's very delicious.
Okay. Anyway, the point of it is, LeBron's probably drinking a lot of that to be doing what he's heavy on the beet juice right now, one way or another. LeBron and Steph, you're telling me that team doesn't win a championship? Melo's crazy. Come on. Those two guys?
Melo's my guy. I think we need a longer clip. I think we need a longer clip. Because I think his point is what is going to be around those two. Come on, y'all. Like, yes, Steph, LeBron together, amazing. But what's going to – don't look at me like that, Han. What's going to be around those two? There's a legit question
there. I'm with Greeny. I wanted this so badly.
Me too. Oh, come on.
You heard the rumors.
There's a legit question,
though. Get these two together. This would be unbelievable. The Expendables 5. Like, get these two together and watch them work. They'd be the most unstoppable pick-and-roll tandem that we have ever seen. And the knowledge that they have, that their experience, it would be such theater to have these two together. We were robbed of it.
Okay,
unfortunately, LeBron didn't want to do it.
Then let's do this.
But how do they win?
Come on, let's do this. Let's do it then,
okay.
Right? Give me the starting five with those two together.
Well, who's going in the deal?
That's what I'm saying to you.
So
you tell me.
Well, is it Wiggins, Kuminga? Was Clay going in
the
deal?
It's going to cost all the people. Come on.
Right? Is it going to cost some of that stuff?
Yeah, for sure.
Pieces
so you get to hold on the Pods, Moody. So let's say Draymond
still
got to
have somebody
stay.
Left, but these two guys together would be special, and all you'd have to do is just have capable players around them, and you would have a team that would be
very hard
to beat.
I got you, but hard to beat being the key word. I don't think you can roll over on the other teams that would be in the West.
LeBron, Steph, you, me, and Han could wind up making
We're not
a deep
beating
run
Denver.
In the playoffs.
Sorry.
If you get
got McBuckets,
juice,
right? Chicken knockdown threes. I'll foul a few people.
By the way, Carmelo was my assistant coach when I was coaching the celebrity game, and he was signing autographs the whole time. And he had a play run. So I'm still holding a grudge. All right, as we continue, March Madness for Russell Wilson. Could Wilson be in for a rude awakening? Wait till you hear what our GM has to say his future looks like. Plus, it's not a Friday if it's not Sneaky Hembo and Graziano. Here we go. Who was the most recent first-round NFL draft pick whose father is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? It's a great question. Answer is next.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we are back. Graziano, it's a great question, and I won't be offended if you don't know the answer, but I will point out that if you listened to our radio show yesterday, you'd know the answer to this question. And here it is. Who is the most recent NFL draft pick whose father is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
I did not have the pleasure of listening to the radio show yesterday. Been a little busy out here with combine stuff, so sorry about that. Maybe I'll go back and check out the podcast or whatever. Look, I've got my advisory board here, Lewis and Mike T. We talked it over throughout the break. We ran through some possibilities. We're hoping that we're not missing somebody obvious and more recent, but the answer we landed on is Jake Matthews.
That's correct. Jake Matthews is right.
Yes.
Attaboy.
Right. That's right.
Look how happy they are over there. By the way, there are only a total of 4 NFL first round picks whose fathers are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
So Peyton Manning and Eli Manning.
No, Archie Manning is not in the Hall of Fame. That was one of the tricks of it. Peyton and Eli.
Interesting.
There are two brothers, Chris and Kyle Long. First of them was in 2004. In the interest of moving it along, Kellen Winslow and Kellen
were both
father and son. But Graziano gets it right. 13-5 is the score. Down goes Hembo.
Big win.
And Greeny loves it. Okay. Speaking of guys who might wind up in the Hall of Fame, let's get the Pentabox back in here and put the squad back together again in Indianapolis. Here we go. Russell Wilson. Fascinating scenario. There was a moment in time. Look, Russell Wilson comes at a bargain. He's going to get paid all his money by Denver this year once he gets released. So any team that wants to sign him, you can sign him for the veteran minimum if you want to. It doesn't cost you anything. Teams are going to be knocking down his door. Suddenly, it's not sounding like it's going that way. What do you think we're looking at here, Mike Tannenbaum?
I think we're going to be looking well after the draft. And Greeny, here's why. He's getting $39 million by the Broncos not to play. Presumably, he's going to get cut. We all feel that way. Therefore, him and his agent are going to say, hey, I'm all in at the minimum this year. What's my 2025 guarantee? They're going to say, you got to prove it this year. And then he's going to hit the pause button, which is understandable. So after the draft, there's going to be some non-obvious team that's going to try to recruit him. I threw out the Jets a couple weeks ago, but it could be a team like the 49ers, the Rams. Someone is going to try to convince him, come to us on a one-year deal to resurrect your career. Or Greeny, the other thing he could do is say, look, I'll do what Joe Flacco and Carson Wentz did. I'll sign during the season and try to get back to the league that way. But he has $39 million sitting there, whether he plays or not.
It's a fascinating set of circumstances there. And we've made the point, look, he could just walk away with $300 million. He's got unlimited options in his life. But D. Wood made the point, and I think it's a good one. Most athletes don't want to go out the way he finished last year. So let's say he does want to play. So the Steelers are a place we keep pointing to, Lewis. What, if you're Mike Tomlin, do you want to go get Russell Wilson?
Go get him? No. Would I want to wait on him? Yeah. Look, I think, again, and we've talked about this in the previous hour, I think the way Mike is wired and the way that situation has played out, you know, previous to Arthur Smith arriving in Pittsburgh with Matt Canada being in charge of that offense when Kenny Pickett was drafted, I think they really want to see this situation play out with Kenny. I think they want to obviously provide competition for the quarterback room, provided that Mason Rudolph comes back as well. I think they want to provide competition, but I don't see them right now going ahead and being aggressive at acquiring a veteran player, the likes of Russell Wilson, because that basically, you know, effectively kind of shuts the door on the development of a guy like Kenny Pickett, who was their first round pick,
yeah,
who was a Heisman Trophy runner up, who was subjected to a situation in Pittsburgh that if you have intimate knowledge about what was going on there under Matt Canada, and again, this isn't to try and like tear down Matt Canada or be disrespectful, was something that just was not going to lead to success. There's a reason why Mike got rid of him. There's a reason why Mike resisted getting rid of him, because Mike is a fiercely loyal individual who kind of thinks, you know, his own way, and he is not going to cave to outside pressures or to what other people perceive to be the course of direction that he should take. He's just not going to do it. And although there's a ton of talk surrounding, well, they should trade for Justin Fields, they should sign Russell Wilson, they should go after Kirk Cousins, he doesn't. I'm telling you, from my experience in talking to the guy, he does not look at it like that. And I know it's very unpopular right now to support Kenny Pickett, but I promise you, inside that building, they are looking at this in its totality and what he was subjected to. And I believe that they feel as though he could probably resurrect his career. Now, what, being a third-year player, he has to resurrect his career under Arthur Smith.
Yeah, look, I mean, loyalty and stability are words that are immediately associated with the Steelers. How do you see the situation, D. Wood?
Russell Wilson is about to, you know, we're going to find out real quick that dude really loves ball or not. It's one thing to go on a podcast and you know, proclaim those type of things, but when the opportunities are few, far in between, and you got $39 million just to go sit at home, you're going to have to do some real soul searching, rather see if you really want to continue, if you really want to, because there's not going to be a guaranteed job for Russell Wilson. This is going to be the first time in his career where he's going to have to say, you know what, I might have to go out here and battle somebody, and it may not work out in my favor. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what Russell Wilson is going to be up against this offseason.
Graziano, put a quick final word on it for us as far as what you're hearing about that situation.
I think based on what I'm hearing out here, I expect the Steelers to add to their quarterback room this offseason, but it may be just a matter of bringing in a little bit of competition for Kenny Pickett. I don't think they've given up on him. I don't expect them to go the older veteran route to like a Russell Wilson or a Kirk Cousins. I don't think that's their plan.
Things keep happening that we don't expect to happen. That's the beauty of it all. Everyone stay close by. We have much more to do. And then First Take will take over. Top of the hour. Are the Warriors a dark horse team? Are the Knicks in trouble? Molly, Stephen A., Monica Perk, D. Wood, and more coming up next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Come on! on, people. It's time to get up. I am the world's foremost authority on all matters.
Greeny, I love your genius. You know I love you. I love the way you think.
I could sit back and listen to this for the rest of the day.
It's calling me, man. Scotty is calling me.
Dominique Foxworth, you always have a delightful way of sitting back, absorbing everything everyone says, and then distilling it down to something simple.
Well, that's a lot of pressure, first of all.
So that's what he said.
I was very, very skinny back then. I was a little guy. I have my grown man weight, my daddy weight now.
I never want to disagree with Lewis. He is clearly smarter and far superior in every way in life.
Okay, hold on.
Look at Jeff. He's got Lewis. Oh, yeah, go ahead. For me, it's like Christmas, and he's Santa Claus.
Baltimore's own Mel Kiper.
That's a lot of hair I've lost between now and then and now. I can tell you that right now.
Speaking of bald.
Thank you, Jeff.
You ever have hair, Lewis?
Zero pressure getting put on by Greeny. You seem more appropriate for the pressure Greeny was applying.
D. Woody, you are out to show America that you are still the most powerful man in all of ESPN. You bench pressed me for more reps than Myles Garrett.
Look, he's kind of snuggling in there.
That was a thigh, I can promise you.
I never tire. Have a great weekend. First Take starts now. Come on, get up.